This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the True Car mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
Broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Popping through the forest,
scooping up the fall crumb and bopping it on the head, Mando.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. As you can tell by that intro, someone's here is doing a full gloat. We'll get to that in a second. I'm Joe Braswell, and joined as always by the lovely. We're all here together for once.
This is very exciting.
We're back together.
Two in a row.
Well, Joe was on the phone.
That's right. I think that counts, except you cut me out of the first 20 minutes of the show. Because you're pretty much a crap
mercifully,
magnet.
Mercifully. Joe Flippa, how are you?
I'm living the dream. How are you, Dr. Braswell?
I'm fine. I'm the doctor. And I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Carely.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Gentlemen.
How are you doing? And we're also joined by the super lovely Nando Velasquez.
Oh, thank you. Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the show. And we will remind you again, if you haven't already done this, subscribe to us on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. We're also on SoundCloud now, as we talked about before, and iTunes. So thanks for checking us out and downloading us there. Leave comments. Talk to us. And on iTunes, I will say this. We used to be always in the top whatever, but we still have the same numbers and even more fans, but it's because of the comments. So if you can please rate us and comment, all you people who love us on YouTube and rate us on and rate us on YouTube.
Please love us on iTunes.
Yeah, it just helps other people find us, and it helps us here. It helps a lot. So, comment, rate, even if you hate us or hate me.
But don't hate us.
Don't hate us.
Okay, five stars. Five stars all around.
We like five stars.
Yeah.
Fine. And YouTubers, thank you as well for that. And then we also have a hashtag for this. What is it?
ABTV Blacklist.
ABTV Blacklist.
Yes, and we should start using that more often. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, yeah, we'll be using it. So also, if you want to reach out to us directly, just put that in there too.
Right.
And yeah, that'll be cool.
So the gang's all here. We're here. Thank you, Nando. The gang's all here. We are here for episode two, the conclusion. Not episode two, but actually episode 10, I believe it is. The conclusion of the Luther Braxton situation, and it was a full conclusion. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of stuff didn't happen, and then some stuff happened. But I will, in our first impression segment, we will say that one of us here at this table was right. Actually, two. I'm not gonna say what I was right about, but one of us is right.
Who could that be?
And Nando, I want to appreciate. I want to thank you very much for.
I want Nando to tell us who was right.
Tell the nice people, Nando.
Come on, Nando.
What? I don't remember half of what you said for the predictions, honestly.
Julia's really mad.
Julia's saying stuff that I saw clips from next week. So
this is so sad.
This
you
is
guys...
a man who will never admit that I was right.
So before we started, you know, Julia was very happy about being right about the bunny and the fulcrum.
Yeah.
And Nando's like, wait, did you say that?
And I don't remember saying bunny.
Of course you
did. That happened off
air. Whatever. It's cool.
But you can say bunny. It's cool.
Whatever. Nando's life all remember that I said it. I don't care about Nando.
Nando's life is hanging by a thread. She's going to stab him. It's going to be very, very sad. It's going to be a mess. This is a small studio. We're going to be covered in Nando.
Covered in Nando.
We should also give a shout out to Caitlin K.
There's a little chip somewhere in my body.
Yes, she did.
And there's a hashtag bunny fulcrum.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hashtag messy memories, hashtag daddy red, whatever. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that because I still
bunny fulcrum. I love it.
Bunny fulcrum.
I still maintain that red is not the father.
As do I.
Well, you maintain wrong,
and so I'm so willing.
Oh man,
I'm so sure about this that I'm willing to drop another wager.
Oh man,
another yellow blouse-esque wager.
Are we at wager time?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Because I mean, I just say that we will have confirmation.
You make it sound like we're going to find out next week.
Well, we'll find out this season. I have a feeling that we're going to find out this season.
That's a bigger one. Right. I think that's a bigger question. Will we find out this season? I don't think that's apparent.
All right, we'll come up with another.
We'll get to it, but we'll come up with another a bet thing. Because
we've only got like 10 episodes left. However, we need a bet. But I will say, we need a large bet for that.
I mean, I'm
back Let's
on
take some suggestions I'm, though I'm in our comments.
I'm back on Daddy Red after this episode. Oh, last week, yeah, last episode, I was like, yeah, well,
of course
I am.
Such a front runner. There's no chance. We'll get to that in a second. So, what do we think of this episode? I mean, we'll talk about some of the plausibility of the vaporized oil rig and them all escaping somehow. We'll talk about the plausibility of that in a second. But just, I don't know, Nando, what'd you think of this episode? Just in a general sense.
I just, you know, I liked the Sunday episode a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Overall. I mean, this episode was good.
A lot more Cracker Jacky.
A lot of dream sequences. We kept making jokes about the perfect timing of all the commercial breaks. During like a moment of euphoria for, you know, like right about to be an aha moment for Lizzie, all of a sudden commercial break. It was a little annoying.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of trippy dream sequences. But yeah, I think ultimately, you know, we're moving forward, but it was just a very trippy episode.
I gotta say this. This is my opinion about this. Did you ask me my thoughts?
Yeah, your thoughts.
All right, good. I'm gonna tell you my thoughts. Here are my thoughts. I think the show writers need to trust that they have a good enough show that it will survive the revelation of who Red is to Lizzie. And I think that we're ready to move forward. We can move on now. I feel like we've been dating this girl long enough. It's time to get in her pants. I don't know how else to say it.
I could probably think of a few better ways
to say it. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we've been going out a long time. It's probably time to you know, for us to consummate this thing.
Certainly.
Especially if it's a dad relationship. We don't need to be saying
it. You're right. That's true. It's a bad
yeah.
But I just think I think they need to trust the show that they've got something in place that they can tell us who he is. And I agree with you. The dream sequences were kind of the only thing missing was a clown. Like there was like some clown creeping down the hallway.
Yeah. Julia, what'd you think?
I found this episode to be a little bit frustrating, to be honest.
Sure.
And maybe coming off the heels of Sunday's episode, which was so exciting and action-packed.
Yeah, it was.
And lots of potential. This, I feel like, I just feel like I was expecting more. We didn't really learn anything that much new. Yes, we knew Red was in the fire. Mm-hmm. Yes, we knew Lizzie was in the fire. These are things we already knew, but the only thing that I learned that I'm interested in is that when little Lizzie said, who's Masha? You are. So, mm-hmm. And then we had the Russian lullaby, the creepy Russian lullaby playing in the background. So that's something that sort of sparked my interest. But aside from that, the bunny. I loved the bunny, of course. But remember the bunny, Nando?
Yeah, I remember the bunny. I remember when Joe said it.
Oh. Stab, stab.
But aside from that, I was just a little... Slightly let down.
I want to add one thing. Not on that, but I want to add one thing. For people who just started tuning into the Blacklist because they were watching the Super Bowl and they got, you know, really into it, involved because of that episode, I think this was a good episode for them to watch still, because at least they're not rushing forward too far ahead for new viewers. And, of course, we got to see Ron Perlman and we got to see Gloria Rubin. So I'm sure a lot of people would have recognized her from ER, from her ER days. So I think it was a good episode.
Dr. Jean Boulay.
There you go. You knew that. Boulay. I didn't know that. You knew that.
HIV positive.
Yeah, exactly. I was a huge ER fan.
I think it was a good episode for certain people, but for those of us who were just dying to know, you know, get some of these questions answered, it's just,
I was just expecting so much more. If she's under hypnosis, if they're administering all these drugs to bring these memories to life, bring a memory to life, please.
Well, if we check out the net, you know, all the net of this entire episode, we did get some information. Check out the net of these two episodes, Luther Braxton, you know, one and two. We did get some information, I guess, but they sure took a long time to get to it in part two.
Drew that out.
But I will say, you know, I don't know. My thought is, and I don't know this for certain, but I know that a lot of times in shows, for budgetary reasons, you hear directors talk about this, your showrunners talk about this. Sometimes they'll know a sweeps episode or a special episode. They load up on budget that, you know, for one episode. So another episode, they may have to, like, you know, you have a lot of talking, two people in a room talking to each other for like pages and pages and pages. This felt like that. This felt like the Super Bowl episode. There's a lot of explosions, a lot of big action set pieces, O-rings, stuff happening. And this was a lot of like Lizzie in the chair. So maybe I think that was probably just for me for some practical purposes. But I do know as a storytelling device, I hated it. I mean, after three commercial breaks with cutting to Lizzie in the chair, like, and the cliffhanger, what is Lizzie going to remember?
Yeah.
And it's come back to more sort of foggy, you know, crap. I'm like, get on with it already. So I didn't really love it, but I get it. I don't know. But we'll see. But we did get out of it. We did get the fulcrum, little bunny fulcrum. We did get, you know, and I like the sort of red herring they threw in there of like, you know, Lizzie with the memories. She's like, you know, I know who was there. And then Gloria Rubin at the end is like, well, actually, you know, this happened to you before. So the whole thing may be mixed around. You don't know what happened. So I don't know. I just a little. And I was also.
So everything they showed us is probably, it could be a lie as well.
Complete lie.
Yeah.
Total red herring. Come on, how could it not be?
And you figure it's also a device so that she never goes under again, so she doesn't have to go under again and try to figure it out. They're saying it's hopeless.
Dr. Gloria Rubin told you.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
She needs a second opinion from George Clooney.
Yes, Dr. Ross.
I don't know that long face on Red that when they were in, when the doctor was back with the sun and Red's looking up and the pain and come on, do we even?
Yeah, that was a pretty was a pretty big projection there that he could be the daughter or she could be his daughter.
It's too obvious. Anyway,
you're wearing a pink blouse, a yellow stripes,
you guys,
and there's going to be frills
in case it comes when we're least expecting it.
Let's get into the episode a little bit, because I'd say so. When we last we saw our heroes, they were in the
meanwhile back at the rig.
They were in a quadruple cliffhanger of a situation.
Yeah.
We had Wrestler and
Navabi.
And Navabi,
yeah,
Samar about to get shot and hanging by their necks.
Yep.
We had Red
with the guy Sebastian behind them.
With Sebastian behind them,
yeah.
We had Red Lizzie pointing a gun at Luther and Red saying shooter.
Yeah.
All the while, two missiles are blazing towards the oil rig, which I do believe the director said will vaporize the entire rig and there'll be no survivors.
Well, that is absolutely not what happened.
Yeah.
These F-22s were broken.
And once Cooper found out, he was like, how could you vaporize an entire, and
it didn't. Damn it, Nairobi.
Don't worry about it. It's cool.
So the missiles hit, and there was a fire.
Yeah, it was a fire.
You know.
Apparently what they shot was gasoline. I don't know.
I'm not sure what happened to the other 122 people, whatever it was.
They probably all died except for our five characters.
All the pertinent people stayed alive.
Oh, six, because Desmond lived, right?
Well, Desmond lived, but there was someone behind Desmond. There was like at least one or two people behind Desmond when he came in. So we know there's a few more.
I'm not sure what happened to the 75 personnel.
That was awful, awful. Well, that's a lot of extras.
Yeah.
I mean, that gets expensive.
But all I do know is Red, Lizzie, and Wrestler and Navabi survived.
And Luther.
F-22 Raptors.
And Luther survived. And, yeah. Listen, and Lizzie, of course.
F-22s only shoot red shirts. Everyone knows that. It's I mean, that's how Lockheed Martin designed the plane.
Right. Cheers. Right. Red shirts, Starship
Red shirts
reference.
Only.
Yes. So, you know, so that happened. And, you know, look, again, my disbelief is willfully suspended. I already said that. I gave that disclaimer last week. I've given my disbelief over to the blacklist. I'm no longer worried about plausibility. I mean, maybe the missiles weren't, you know.
Well, that and the fact that Sebastian had a gun pointed behind, those people's backs for like a good 3 minutes from last week. And then all of a sudden we see, well, the guard was dead. So I guess we can assume that the guard got shot, but still.
I will say that was a very cool set piece of Wrestler rescuing the body.
Yeah, you know what? That was
cool.
Great.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a cool
and
scene.
It was great because it wasn't neat. It was like they fell and it was great. I enjoyed that.
And it did look like it was in trouble. And he climbed up and he did the thing, and that felt cool. I did like that.
Yeah.
We're unclear as to whether Joe Carnahan directed this episode or not. It doesn't really say on IMDb.
It doesn't say on IMDb.
I don't know. I want to think that he did because it was one big episode.
You would assume, right? Yeah.
It didn't feel like he did.
It didn't have the pace the last one did.
Yeah, so
the tempo wasn't right.
Look that up.
The lighting
further.
Wasn't the same.
And if any of you guys know on YouTube or iTunes, let us know.
It's not coming up on IMDb for
it's
a director.
Not coming up. I know. I that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Nando
doesn't
listen.
I'm just giving you a sec. I'm sorry. You want to say something, Julia?
Thank goodness Nando was able to discover that the fulcrum was in the bunny. I mean,
oh,
I'm so glad.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
God, you're a genius.
You're welcome, America.
So the rig's on fire. The guys get free. We see that we don't really see what happened or how it happened, which is completely unimportant.
What's that?
How this thing happened, I'm about to say, which is the helicopter is speeding off towards Alaska.
Do you know?
You know, which is fine. How it happened.
Well, they did make reference. Luther made reference to his helicopter that was laying in wait.
And that was coming before. That was coming from the last episode.
Right.
I just don't know how they could have made it there.
To go from gun drawn on you to missiles hit to they're flying off in the helicopter.
Yeah.
That's
scratch.
Like,
he's a big guy. It takes a little bit more than an F-22 to bring.
We're talking about
down.
Hellboy here. Okay. Hellboy.
We're
talking
about Hellboy. That's right.
He's probably smoking a cigar on the flight. You know,
it is Hellboy.
But she has a gun pointed to him.
All right, we get it. It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
I'm just trying to picture how she was on top of him, and now all of a sudden she's. The opposites happened.
The F-22 has been a controversial airplane for a long time. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Three words. Suspension of disbelief. Just go with
Got
it.
Got it.
Like I said, the gun was pointed. The missiles hit.
It was
the
amazing.
Helicopter's on its way to Alaska.
It was incredible.
It's all you need to know.
Okay.
That's it.
Any other questions?
Well, done.
So and Red knew, because Red was like, he took her. And so, you know. Anyway,
it'll be in a DVD.
Wrestler figures out the thing. He gives the distress signal. They do rescue. And there was some cool. I will say that was kind of a cool Cooper moment when he was going head to head with old Blondie
with the bird lady.
Yeah, the bird. That's not nice.
That's not nice. You're right. That's not nice.
You can't call
that's not nice.
Bird lady.
She and she's very very good in that. She's very good.
I like her.
I agree.
She's fantastic. Our girl Janelle
Maloney.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah.
And her character is very rough too.
Yes.
Like I will, I'll walk away from 75 employees on a rig. I don't care.
That's right. Even though she has a certain ornithological. Never mind. Forget it.
That means bird. That means bird.
No, does it? I don't know what that means. Anyway, so yeah. So, but I do like that exchange that they had. The two when Cooper's like, you know, you're going down too, and I'm going to get the, you know, I'm sitting search and rescue there, and she's like, you're not doing anything.
I didn't know that the CIA could relieve FBI. I don't know if that's a thing.
I don't know if that's a thing either.
I'm not sure how these things work out. They seem like they'd be more complex than that.
Because the CIA, I mean, I know the CIA and FBI are two different agencies. I don't know if one outranks the other.
Well, the CIA is not supposed to function inside the U.S. It's not allowed to function
here. FBI serves as our government's police force, essentially.
That's my understanding.
The CIA operates, you know, as our international sort of security
spy
stuff. But apparently,
there's 17 other agencies that we don't know the names of. So there's
a lot of acronyms out there.
Probably a lot more going on than we're allowed to know about.
Anyway, but apparently she has the authority to relieve him from duty, but she did not do that. So, but that was kind of cool. Anyway, they do find them. They do rescue them as well. Hopefully they rescue the other 75 personnel as well.
Like we said, extras are expensive.
Who knows? maybe all the prisoners died. Who knows? But Lizzie's kidnapped. She's on her way. That was kind of cool, the whole Alaska thing. We saw the getaway. We saw how that happened. We do know that, and all the questions were answered that we're asking last week that I was falsely answering about, like, who's going to live, who's going to die. I didn't see the preview, but apparently everyone lived. So that's fine.
We talked about it. F-22s only shoot down Redshirts. We did.
No, I mean, but last week I was in my predictions. I was saying I believe that someone's going to die.
I thought someone was going to die. I thought either Navabi or Wrestler were going to die.
Our YouTube folks were saying, like, if you saw the previews, you know that people, everyone lives. Oh, so that's off. Anyway, so that happened. And then he goes to extract the information through all kinds of means of torture, including waterboarding, which Nando brought up that back in the day, back in our day, when 24 was on, they would have to give us a warning. Warning, right?
Yeah, well, things were different then.
Well, to be fair, you know, we didn't see it live. We saw it a few minutes late, and it started like right at the beginning of scenes from last episode.
Also, so they might have had a disclaimer.
It might have been, but even back then with the 24 days, I think I felt like they put the disclaimer before and after the show, so and like every commercial break.
Interesting commentary.
We've seen some pretty gnarly torture in this show and other shows.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's pretty interesting commentary on our acceptance of torture. I mean, it's like waterboarding. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's just waterboarding.
It's waterboard Lizzie. It's fine.
Now what? Now what? What's the next?
It's blood free.
Yeah. Tell me where the bomb is. Mm. That's all I got to say.
Tell me where the bomb is.
Tell me where the bomb is.
But yeah, so waterboarded, all kinds of, who knows what the other guy was doing. The other guy said he tried his methods and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right?
He asked her nicely.
Yes,
he did.
So then they go
in. It looked to me like end result was all they did was take off her makeup. I mean,
that was show extent. A mirror and put a mirror up to her.
Don't
look at me. Scratch on her. All they did was take off her makeup. This is horrible.
Well, she looked pretty worn out.
I look that good if I'm being waterboarded.
But this brings us to
you have to watch the entire first three seasons of Downton Abbey, and you don't get to wear your makeup.
This is horrible.
But you know, I think that they did a good job of a very tidy manner of getting us from missiles en route to you know, being tortured, and we were like before the first commercial break. That was a lot they got done.
Yeah,
Very efficient.
Very efficient, right?
Sped it along.
Like, you know, we were from no one's going to survive to like everyone's fine.
Because we needed all that extra time for those dream sequences.
Thank goodness they did, so that we could go down the hall four times.
Exactly. So which reminds me, they go and get, and I need your help on this, Julia. They go and get Gloria Rubin, who's Dr.
Selma Orchard.
Selma Orchard.
They kidnap her son, Max.
Yeah, so they kidnap Max.
Yeah.
And they bring her in. And
I thought we'd get a little bit more exposition because Luther was saying things about I needed help to forget a horrible memory.
Yeah.
Well, they did. They
mentioned that.
They mentioned that back at the base.
Was that the Belgrade?
A friendly fire. No, that was Belgrade.
Oh, did I miss that?
You did. Yeah, you did miss something.
It was a friendly fire incident.
Imagine that.
In the first Gulf War, he was involved in.
How did I miss that?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But
apparently,
you didn't miss.
It happens.
They did not.
Shut up, Nando.
Step.
Then not tell us what the F happened in Belgrade. Like, Belgrade.
Well, apparently it wasn't that important. Thing. But it wasn't that important in the
end. Henkel hanging by Red's necktie. Yeah. That's really all we got.
Messy scene in Belgrade.
They kept on just hammering it into us.
Yeah, I really want to know.
Well, it was Braxton that kept doing it. Braxton that kept doing it, and then Red finally said, you know what, I don't even remember that. It's kind of like the bunny. It's like, you just keep hammering the bunny. I'm like, apparently, I just didn't even think about that.
She's going to cut him.
Take it easy.
He's going to bleed.
Take it easy, Nando. Wait, fall back, please. Fall back.
I'm just making an example.
Trust me. I know her. Fall back.
Trust me. I know her.
We found out
they've known me a long time, Nando.
We're
relatively new.
Dr. Gloria Rubin is, what's her name?
Selma Orchard.
Selma Orchard is, we know she's an expert at the TET 1 memory extinction.
Now, apparently that's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, you Google?
That's a real thing.
On that, Jeff,
that's a real thing. As near as I can tell, now this is a very, very preliminary search here.
It's a light Google?
It's a very light Google.
Okay.
It's a surface scratch.
It's more of a goog, goog, goog.
I don't even give it a full Google.
Okay.
It's a goog.
It's a goog. But it's apparently this is the deal, and this is where we keep memories, and this is how we get rid of them, is by accessing this thing. And they've been able to do it in mice. I don't know if they've been able to do it in people for real, but I don't know that a light Google search would reveal that. I don't know. There's some underground lab somewhere doing crazy memory erase stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So while this is happening, Red is hot on the trail, and Red is going out, and he's doing what Red does. And we saw Red do his scorched earth bit before in season one, where he went out. Remember that he went out and killed everyone that so and so killed. The first time in season one, we actually saw Red go nuts, and we're like, "Whoa, Red's not effing around!" And he went
killing people.
killing people left and right. When he went to go find, I can't remember who he went to go find.
But
it was the first,
it was awesome.
The first big bad that we had in season mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did a lot of that this time. You know, Red now is, we now know Red is will kill anyone at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
We know Red can wield a shotgun, wield a gun. We know what he's capable of. He does manage to get this room full of Braxton's associates and basically do a group threat, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, said, hey, Braxton's going to be contacting you guys. If you hear from him, let me know. If not,
what's in it? What's in it for me?
Life.
Life. Life's in it for you.
We also did Return to Dembe, which is
yes.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good Dembe?
Man.
Everybody loves Dembe.
Oh, I love that guy.
He's the fave.
Yes.
He's fan fave.
Dembe on the spot. Like, what's up, Dembe? Oh, I got this.
Hmm.
Yes, Dembe's there to make it
got
happen.
Got it.
So he does that. So let's get in. So the hypnotherapy's starting, and I'm not exactly sure what I saw, but I know I saw it for three commercial breaks. So Joe, we take me through a little bit what happened.
Yeah, they bought a house that was on a burial ground, and then the little girl goes into the TV,
yes.
and then there was a clown,
uh-huh.
and there was a hole on the other side.
Yes, did they move the stones?
They didn't move the stones. My understanding is that if you access the gene, now this is TV understanding. So if you move, you access the gene, and then go to the hypnotherapy, and which was incredibly weird that you could like hypnotize someone to go back 26 years seemed mm-hmm.
very specific to me.
Because our way of telling time is fairly arbitrary.
Well, she counted backwards to 26. We used to count backwards from 26.
He's the one who doesn't like the bunny.
She counted up to 26, and when she gets to 26, she's like, stop. That's right there.
So
now, what do you see in the hallway?
Right. So then she was in the closet with herself. But then her dream self said to the other self, said, no, we can't be here. So let's go to the Christmas tree lot. So they went to the Christmas tree lot and they sang a song.
So the bunny
got lost.
Wait, time out. So when she's in the closet,
yeah.
And when she's because in the Christmas tree lot wasn't the real memory. It was a weird like
that was her
going
memory.
To a happy memory.
It was her defense mechanism.
But don't forget the fire did happen on Christmas Eve, so it kind of made a little bit of sense.
But that's why the doctor thinks that somebody else had muddled in her mind before.
You should have Leo DiCaprio from Inception.
Right? Spinning like, a top. Just
exactly. I don't. Okay, so
damn you, Christopher Nolan.
All right, you're fired, Julia.
You can't just fire me. Seems strong.
So she goes inside the dream. Lizzie's hanging out with herself because we're seeing Lizzie with her now.
Big Lizzie, little Lizzie.
Right. Now the question I'm asking
and a bunny.
Was there another person? Was Lizzie a real person or was Lizzie the big Lizzie?
Huh?
I don't know.
She was both. Come on now.
Have you never seen a hypno thing? Big Lizzie
did she
revisiting little Lizzie.
Got it.
Who was hiding in the closet as this man and this woman who are unidentified at this point.
Yes.
That is something we learned. We didn't know that there was a woman there.
Yeah, I know that.
There's a woman.
Hello.
Who said things. Yes, I told her.
Yep.
The woman said that. Yes, I told her.
Fulcrum, maybe?
I don't know.
Dr. Orchard did say
maybe.
That little Lizzie was a figment of her. It was her subconscious because when she was stopping Lizzie from trying to discover things, she was holding her back. Right. It was her subconscious. At least that's the explanation
I got.
And
at one point or another, Lizzie was arguing. Lizzie and Lizzie were wrestling, weren't they? Wasn't it two Lizzies?
Well, there was the one Lizzie was
saying, look that way, what Red's telling her not to.
Yeah. The little Lizzie wanted. Wait, correct me if I know you will now. little Lizzie was running down. No, Big Lizzie was running down the hall to see what was happening. Little Lizzie was trying to stop her,
yeah.
right? Because she had been told, don't look.
Right.
Or someone had suppressed the memory.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Nanda.
Yeah.
And then, the first thing we had, they had the countdown. She says, we're going to open your eyes. And then we cut to commercial. Three.
Two.
And I was like, one.
Yeah, commercial.
I'm like, this is some good. I'm locked in. And then we'd have some more stuff go on. And then we had another big reveal. And then we cut to commercial again. And I was completely lost. Actually, didn't care anymore.
this is why I'm saying they got to let this whole thing go and tell to let the story happen.
All right,
because people are getting mad. I mean, I think Julia could kill Nando. I think it's real.
The story being Red is Lizzie's dad, right?
That's what you're saying. I think if that is
not you too, Brad.
No, okay. I'm just trying to get to Joe. No,
Braswell's going to be wearing a tutu, and I mean it's going to be deep
ish.
I really can't wait to hear these suggestions. Oh, of what the bet
you don't
should
even
be.
Know,
right? So okay,
make
so
them
then,
good.
Okay, so she gets she
I want Braz in a blonde.
She
wig.
Wakes up. She almost seizes out. She wakes up, and then she says, "I need to go back under." Right, and so they put her back under. This is Lizzie.
Yeah, yeah.
For a second time. And then she really gets deep, and she sees the three people struggling as we talked about, mm-hmm. and she sees the fire.
We're talking fire now? Okay.
No, just, I don't know. I'm going to try, because I'm no actor. Like, you two guys are two fantastic actors, Julia and Joe.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just for him.
Both on television. I see you both on commercials and TV all the time, hear you and see you. So I'm going to try to acting myself. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to ask your opinion as actors. What's this move? What was she doing when she's doing this move? Remember Lizzie the whole time did the whole, like, there was like 5 minutes of her going.
I think it had something to do with her
scar.
With
her scar.
How she gets the scar.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that was not revealed in her little flashback
but
montage.
In
whatnot.
The montage, the little Lizzie's doing this, and then Lizzie, and then Red's looking, and she's doing this. And Red's looking, and this is happening. And then, like, I got lost. What happened?
Well, she said her dad. She screamed for
like
her dad, who looks like
seconds.
He's
90 seconds.
I know of just this of and light. Fire and shadows and like. Mm. Okay, so this is what I remember seeing, which could be very wrong. She's doing this. Mm-hmm. She's raising her hands in an odd way. No scar yet. She's screaming
scar
for
happens,
her dad.
Though.
Yeah, it's starting to sear, but
yeah.
It's a very specific scar. It's just not from like a flame licking at her wrist. There's something more specific to it.
Looks like acid or something. I don't know.
Dad is on the floor. She screams for dad, but I thought I saw him sort of moving, writhing, like he wasn't dead. Right. And then there's two dudes, and the two dudes look like they're helping him out.
This is like Twin
helping
Peaks.
Him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn good coffee.
Here's the thing. This is why I was mad at the end of the show. At sitting in the cafe with Dr. Orchard, the entire of the dream sequences are balled up and thrown away in one line.
Yeah.
She says, you know, the characters, the people you see could have had different roles. So
welcome to television.
And everything.
So all this is for nothing.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So like we watch this thing over and over again. We rewound it, as I recall. Yeah. Who is that? Yes. Is that look at that. Right? Then at the end of it, it's like, nah, it didn't matter. Could have been anybody. We changed the whole thing.
Well, but when she was talking with Red, when Lizzie was talking with Red, she was describing that he was with the people looking for the fulcrum.
Yes.
And Red pretty much did what Red does really well whenever she's asking questions. He just deflects or he just says yes, but he doesn't really answer the question. He just kind of agrees with her without saying anything. So, you know, it might have seemed like he was agreeing with Lizzie at the time, but I was noticing during the conversation, it's like he's not really confirming anything.
Well, she saw him there, but we didn't see him in her flashback. He wasn't one of the two guys that we could tell.
No.
Well, don't forget, this was 20 years ago, but he had longer hair back
then. They make a big point that he has a lot of hair back then.
Yeah,
and
those guys
neither of those guys had a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Well, the Spader did have some hair.
I mean, I saw Stefan Pretty in Pink.
Steph!
Dude!
Yeah, Steph,
my favorite.
But the point is that she's busy telling him that he was one of the people looking for the fulcrum, and then Dr. Orchard at the end said, you might not remember things the way they are. Certain people may be in different positions than the way you remember them.
Of course they are.
So, of course, that means Red's the father.
No, it's not. Well, but like, this is
case closed. Good night, Wisconsin.
There we go. Pin down.
Joe, this is an age old TV thing. Like, you know, we have JR back in the day, back in Nando's day. Who shot JR?
Yes.
Like that whole thing was a dream sequence. We have entire seasons of dream sequences. So we'll see.
I remember some of the older kids at school seemed excited about that.
The thing that really upset me the most, though, is like, I made a big deal last week of how finally Lizzie, I'm so happy that Lizzie is kind of on Red's side. She's kind of cuddled up the Red, and this is good. And I like this. I'm sick of this whole adversary and don't touch me and don't look at me thing. I know Julia loves this stuff. And then, of course, they bring this whole back. They find a new reason for Lizzie to hate Red.
Because
enough already.
She feels used. Like,
I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. I love you. Hate
it's
you.
So tired. I mean, I really hate it. So then at the end, she does the whole, don't touch me, which is your favorite line, right? Which she says every
other episode.
Every other episode. Don't look at me. Don't touch me, Red. Even though you've always saved my life and done nothing but good things for me. So,
it's
I don't
what
know.
Lizzie does.
Hopefully, but we've figured out a way to make Lizzie.
When just last week, well, maybe I actually care about you.
Yeah, we figured out ways to make Lizzie not trust Red again and have that adversarial relationship, which I think is completely unnecessary and tired. But it's back, so buckle up for that. Buckle up for Lizzie v. Red
until the episode after this next one. Geez. Then they'll be besties again. Right? Don't worry, right. She'll love them all over
yes.
again.
So,
for this interaction, I will not let you finish a single sentence, and I will storm off for no good reason, and we will do this again next week.
Well, it did seem, well, for those of you who are just sort of getting into the Blacklist, looks like we're returning to form by the previews, which I did watch this time. Looks like we're returning to form next week with a normal, like, this Blacklister was extra Blacklisty. Like the way the form is. This Blacklister. Blacklister of them all. And Red doesn't know what to do. He's so Blacklisty.
That's
how you guys do it, Joe?
Oh, I'll do it, Joe.
I'm no VO guy like Joe. You are.
I want to hear Blacklisty in your voice.
Yeah. Next week.
There you go.
There's a Blacklister. That'll blacklist the Blacklist out of you.
Yes, he will.
He's the Blacklistiest Blacklister you've ever blacklisted.
Tonight on NBC.
That was really good. Thank you.
I like it.
Followed by Allegiance.
Followed by the Americans for NBC.
Which that's very good. Very good, Jill. I had a professional.
That was good.
This job. Yeah, it was good.
But we did see that we're back to form in the regular Blacklist stuff. And it looked like Lizzie and Red are begrudgingly working together again. And Red's doing his thing. And like, Lizzie, this guy's really bad. And Lizzie's doing her thing of like, okay, if you say so. So something happens. But they had that moment of making, you know, Lizzie distrust. You okay, Joe? Why am I making everyone do spit takes all day? I'm not that funny.
You're really funny today. You're cracking us up today.
This is what happens when we do late shows.
Yes.
This always happens when we do late shows.
We see that, so I'm happy, maybe that the whole point that I'm making, this whole long-winded point is that Gloria Rubin's revelation at the end that this was all, everything's confused, may soften Lizzie again to Red, hopefully. And we know how this garbage that we usually have. All right, so let's move on to other thing, which is the. Go ahead. Do you want?
Oh no! What are we going to tell me what's next?
No, the director and the fulcrum.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about. So, you know, David Strathairn, the director, you know, was very smugly telling, you know, the big group of secret Illuminati people that
they spend a lot of time on the phone together.
Yeah, well, they're lit.
Friends and family plans.
A lot of people are all lit. Yeah. They're lit in shadows.
Always,
and half
you can
shadows.
Never see the full face.
Yeah,
it's just a little accent.
Yeah, accent.
Whatever their dialect may be.
German, you know, German bride.
Shows that they're Indian, global Chinese. Alliance.
Yeah, I love they it. All have the same designer.
Yeah.
For this room, we will have very shadowy light. And in this room, again. So all of them. And when you sit in this,
is that German?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe not. He's an indescript Eastern European designer of some sort.
It is a designer. That's what they talk. Oh, Flippo.
Okay.
All right. So, we're past silly.
Yeah.
So we see, you know, he's very smug with these guys instead of saying like, you know, my people are on it, which was a very cool moment. He's like, you know, I guarantee we'll recover the fulcrum. I have a team on it now. And then we get the big reveal that his team is the team in place.
It was
the
Braxton's
whole time.
Team.
It was Braxton's team, which I thought was a kind of a cool twist, which answers my question, my dumb question of last week was, is a director bad or good? Now we know that he's now very bad. So because he
if there's hired, any doubt before.
If there's any doubt before. So so that was kind of cool to see him in that face off with Luther and
so he was willing to blow up Luther, Red, and any connection that he thought there may be to the fulcrum without recovering the fulcrum, and so he was just going to start from scratch.
Well, this way, I thought they were going to let the whole missile thing off the hook. I thought they were going to say, you know, something to the effect of, this is why I let you live. This is why I didn't order a full strike because I wanted you to recover the fulcrum.
Well,
I don't know, like, but he didn't say that.
Well, I mean, don't forget the fulcrum is, from what we understand, a blackmail list. So, and Red seems to be the only one that knows its use. So if he
but it's
bombs,
26
if he,
years old.
I know, but still, by bombing the base that Red and Braxton are in, if he gets rid of both of them and the fulcrum, you know, location dies with them, then his organization's
but
safe.
But don't you think he'd want to know where it is? Because otherwise it's still just floating in the air somewhere and they'll never know.
Well, they assume that Red has it, and if he doesn't have it, well, I guess that's true. I mean, because I guess Red is protected.
They were convinced Red did not have it.
That's true. Because I guess all along Red was alive because they felt that if something happened to Red, the fulcrum would be revealed.
Back in the Alan Alda, back in the Finch days, like, you know, he was convinced that he had it.
Yeah.
And this is why we don't mess with Reddington and everyone's afraid of him. But now the new regime, the David Strathairn, he's like, he ain't got it. I ain't afraid of no Red Reddington. Like, who cares? Like, and so, but Red did a really gangster-ass thing. Rolled up in the director's house, had a hanging Luther Braxton there.
I wish we had seen what happened to him. That's a big boy to take down.
That's another scene it would have been nice to see.
Yes.
What do you think he weighs in at? I'm going to go at least 235, 240. That's a big man.
He's a solid man.
260.
You're saying 260, ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Dembe had to do the heavy lifting on
Dembe
it.
I know
a guy who's 6'4", like Ron Perlman.
Yeah? You know a guy like that?
I know a guy.
What's he weighing at?
And he's a bit over 235.
He's a couple, three more?
Maybe a lot over that. And this guy's not as big as Ron Perlman. Yeah. So I'm going to say
I met Ron Perlman once. He's a big man.
I met him too. And
he's humongous.
He's a big guy. He's all man. I don't think he's as tall as me though, but he's definitely, you know, more of a man than I am.
It's a minor moment, but since we're talking about Red trying to lift Braxton up, let's not forget this one awesome moment when he's negotiating with that guy who has a location where Braxton
is. Yeah, please.
Too. That was a pretty badass. Because I just wanted that jerk. That was the one who was asking for money before, like, what's in it for us? And then Red said life. Right. And then when he wants to negotiate, and Red, you know, Red has to pretty much give him money because every second, you know, Lizzie's in danger. I just loved him punching the hell out of that guy.
Well, he said, what's an extra 15 seconds?
Yeah.
And Red's like, you're right. And the money's transferred. And it's like, here's your money. You win, but I'm still going to beat the shit out of you.
I thought that was an awesome classic scene.
And we've seen a lot of Red. We've seen Red pull the gun. I thought about Red being a badass. We haven't seen Red do any kind of fisticuffs.
Yeah.
We haven't, have we seen Red punch someone
yet? Like hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah, like multiple like that. Red's putting it down.
Never.
I like painful.
I like, yeah. So I liked it. And then gave him one more for good measure at the end.
Yep.
So, you know.
But he got his knuckles bloody though.
But it's Lizzie who he doesn't care about.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't talked about is a Rom.
Oh yes,
we know who Aram cares about,
and that was
such a cute scene,
that lovely hug scene. That was awesome.
Yes,
and I love that you picked up on it, Nano, because I didn't. Like when he went to go hug Wrestler, I was like, oh, it cares about it. And you're like, nice cover. I was like, ooh, nice cover. He and
the long extended hug, you know, to Samir, and then kind of like a bro hug, like, hey, buddy.
No, I just give hugs when people come back not dead. That's what I do.
Yeah, there we go.
And then they cut to Coop, and he's like, let's get back to work. All right, Aram. Let's get back to work. Whatever he said. It was very, it was like a weird,
cute, nice, it was cute.
Soulful
it was a cute
moment.
You know, but, the team.
But let's we're jumping around a little bit, which I guess is better than us laughing like crazy. We're just about done. But
we're done with the director.
Well, just to go back to the director, because that scene with Red and the director about Call My Bluff, do it.
Yes.
Was so awesome, too.
It was
just
great.
Because they're both great actors, both of them, and to see them go head-to-head like that was an awesome scene.
And Strathairn was very much, the director was very much like, I don't think he got it. You know, and he's like, try me. Mm. And there's that stare, and he's like, anyway, I wish you really could have saw me lift him up. You know, it was kind of cool. And I think, I don't think that Strathairn's going to have the balls to call his bluff. No, and we know that Red does not have the fulcrum.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a cool scene.
That gives a question. I mean, what did Red... I'm a little confused by this. And I'm wondering, why did Red want to continue the whole sequence with Lizzie? Did he really not know where the fulcrum was? Was he just trying to see what her memories were?
He said he doesn't.
Okay, well, it almost makes me wonder, because then who tampered with Lizzie's memory?
We don't know.
Because I would assume it was Red, too. I would assume a lot of these question marks are still
there. Well, maybe he was testing to see how much she remembered.
That's what I was
thinking. If he was the one who manipulated her memory in the first place.
Right.
To see if this new sort of hypnosis recovered it, or maybe he was just testing her.
Because he says he doesn't have the fulcrum, but who's to say that Lizzie has the fulcrum right now, because it's in the bunny? Because he even said that Braxton...
Where's the bunny?
Oh. Anyway. My point being, Red says he doesn't have the fulcrum, right? We notice that Lizzie has a bunny with this item that could be the fulcrum or whatever it is. I mean, It's another classic thing where Red says something, and if you take it literally, it could mean one thing. If you take it figuratively, it means something completely different. So we can't trust what Red says. You can't trust his intentions on figuring out what he was doing with Lizzie at the end.
But I think he, you know, they covered him. They did the character cover. Will this harm her in any way? You know, well, is there any way for her to stay? Will this harm her in any way? No, yeah. she can go back under. So I need to know where it is. He needs it. I mean, it's a matter of life and death, I think. I mean, obviously, that last scene shows it.
Well, his.
Yeah,
his
he's life. Always so willing to kill people who will reveal to her that she has this memory somewhere in there, as we saw with Luther, what we saw with her adoptive father, Sam. Was it Sam? Is that his name?
Yeah,
so. Sam. You know, he's willing to kill these people so she doesn't find out that she has this memory. So, yes, I agree with myself. I think that she was...
I'm glad somebody does.
That he was testing to see how far her knowledge really went, how far her memory went.
Yeah, that's why I'm not 100% sure that he does not have the fulcrum or doesn't know exactly where the fulcrum is. So, again, very confusing.
Yeah.
I think I'm confused myself by even saying what I was trying to say.
I confuse
a lot. But well, I'm just not clear on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's clear that he does know where the fulcrum is. He's still trying. That was a whole conceit of him trying to find it because he said he doesn't have it. They think he has it. He knows who's got it, who's looking for it. Luther Braxton, he's going to go in there and follow him to the fulcrum.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this last two episodes is he does not have it.
Yeah, and then David Strathairn knows he doesn't have it, and they call each other bluff. So that was just a big bluff.
He does not have it, but he knows where it is?
I don't think he knows where it is. I think that's why he wanted to see what was up with Lizzie.
It was in the bunny.
Well, something's in the bunny.
All right.
Is that it?
I think
it just made Joe feel uncomfortable about the bunny just now.
I like the way you said that. We did. This is so weird. So we covered. We got. I know we didn't cover.
What did we not talk about?
What's going on with Cooper's wife?
Good.
Or Cooper.
Yeah.
Or Cooper.
Or one of them.
Somebody's sick. Something.
Remember, we said the wife. You know, Julie and I are adamant about the wife's not going to make it.
Yeah.
So.
But we also saw in the very beginning of the season that that Red said something to the effect of, I know of your diagnosis.
Yeah. All right. So.
That's right.
You know, I imagine that, you know, it's a minor prediction, but next episode we'll find out what that diagnosis is, and it does not look good.
Okay. Is that your prediction? Next episode we'll find out what the diagnosis is? It's a hot prediction.
I'm going to write this down because I want to remember this one.
Stab him and then hit him.
Next episode, we will find out.
Oh, there's going to be violence.
I think we can say this is a very successful return to the Blacklist, these two episodes. All in all, I think the net of these two episodes were fine. I could have done without the 900 dream sequences, but I think the net was fine.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump into some shout outs and some news? Oh, well, go
down. Yeah, we do have some news.
Oh, news, okay.
Yeah. AfterBuzz TV news. Because it was announced today.
Nando.
It was announced today that Blacklist has been renewed for season 3.
Yay. No, who saw that coming?
Yay.
I know.
The number one show on NBC.
Why would they renew it? That's crazy.
Well, we kind of knew that was a foregone conclusion, sure. But it was today.
Today was the day they decided to renew
Blacklist, but they also renewed a bunch of the Chicago dramas. Chicago Fire, Chicago BD.
Yes.
So I guess they're doing really well.
Chicago Sanitation.
That's a new one for
Chicago
next one. Chicago DMV.
Yes, Chicago. Chicago DMV.
That show will make you nuts.
Those DMVs are...
Okay. Totally.
So it's a long, long line to the... Never mind.
Chicago Pot Repair.
And we have a lot of our folks are back, and thanks for listening. I want to shout out some of our people. Bam Penny, Hestia, thank you. I can't even say it. Hestia Prytanium? I never get that right.
Prytanium? God, I hope not.
As long as you're missing out.
Beta Artemis, Life is Short, 214, Mickey Oliver, we miss you too. Tickle Tea Lady, of course. Lucille DeBon. Dear Allie. Beads by Laura. I'm sorry. I do this every time to you, Laura. I'm sorry. Beads by Laura. Laura, yes, we, Joe and I are not on the Americans, but we're in contract negotiations to maybe come back to the Americans. So we'll let you know.
Contract negotiations.
We're negotiating right now. We may be back on the Americans. Yeah, we're talking about it now. Ty, love you three. Tiffany F. And D. Papalilum Paradise.
Mm.
the poppin' knowin'. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thanks for coming back. And
feel free to put some stuff on iTunes.
Oh, and of course,
tell us what you want Joe or Joe to wear if they lose a bet on iTunes.
Yeah, I want to hear. I want some suggestions out there.
Yes, of course. What else we got? Oh, predictions.
Predictions.
Predictions?
Predictions?
Predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right, Nando. Julia.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down. I'm writing this down because I don't remember it.
Well, I don't have such a crackerjack one this time. I can't be amazing every week.
Can't be amazing every... I'm writing this down.
Ooh, hit him. Hit him with a stick.
So I'm writing this down.
What do you got, Julia? What do you got?
I think this is not the last that we've seen of Dr. Selma Orchard. I think that Lizzie is going to tap her abilities to sort of help her sort of dig into her past and sort of connect the dots.
Sure.
I think maybe Tom knows a little something, and we'll see him in the next couple episodes.
Ooh, we haven't seen Tom in a bit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it might not be next episode, but I think we'll see him really, really soon, and he's going to have some connection. I do want to learn more about this Russian connection. We know her name is Masha, and I think that's going to be a big something. I don't know what that something's going to be, but it'll be there. And I already said we'll find out Cooper's diagnosis.
I want to hear about his sisters, Jan and Cindy.
Masha.
All right.
Aw, I was thinking a little Uncle Hun, yeah, but whatever. That's just my classical energy.
Well, you're wrong.
I was thinking Chekhov, but whatever.
She hit them in the face. All right, so here's what I think. I think that that the director can't let this go on for very long. He's got a huge dead dude in his house. Fine.
He's a huge dead dude.
But this Red did not show him anything. And if he went into this whole thing and was willing to go as far as he was, having F-22 Raptors shoot apparently cap guns at the rig, there's nothing that Red showed him in that would, or at least showed me, that would cause me as the director to go, you know what, this guy has it. Never mind, I'm out. I don't think that's the deal. I think Red's in a position now where he's got to find the fulcrum really quickly and show them something. He's got to release something. He's got to release a tidbit. Whatever it is, he's got to let something out to let them know that he has it. Okay. And so
is there a prediction of my future?
That's the prediction, that he has maybe two episodes before the director's going to call his bluff again, or there's something else is going to happen. Also, Red is Lizzie's dad.
All right.
Those are my predictions.
One thing we didn't mention is that Janelle had that. We had that that press conference.
Yes.
Yeah, saying, you know, that kind of like saying that Red, they kind of threw Red in the bus, saying he's the guy who orchestrated the whole whoop de bam.
Yep, and he's on the list.
He's at large. So, I mean,
that's right.
We don't know what this does between that. It'll be interesting to see how they you know, use Red's status in relationship to his relationship with the FBI and the task force. If the task force is going to exist still, how could it exist still when the director's after him? I don't know how this is all going
to
work.
But Red at large is pretty awesome. He's a single malt scotch next to a roaring fire with his feet up. Red
a lot
at large
of fedoras. Yeah. A lot of fedoras in our future.
A lot of fedoras, private jets, and single malts. Mando.
Well, first of all, just a little apology. I think we kind of did talk a little bit about scenes for next week with the Blacklistiest Lister thing.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So apologies for anybody if we've ruined anything. I don't think we really gave anything away from that. But I know there are some people that are a little sensitive when we talk about scenes for next week. That being said,
yes.
I'm basing my prediction based on what I saw from scenes for next week. So if you don't like to hear that stuff, tune out for 30 seconds. You know, the fact that Red seems to be under fire by the task force, by the FBI, I think that it has something to do with Cooper. Whatever's going on with Cooper right now, he's just cranky and pissed off, and I think that it's affecting his judgment with Red. So I'm gonna say that Cooper's gonna be making a very big emotional change in the next couple of weeks based on this news. Not in Red's favor.
I would think it would go the other way.
You think he would?
I think that his diagnosis will sort of turn him a little bit more towards Red's favor after seeing how the CIA has been treating him.
Well, I think right now Cooper's a little more concerned about himself than to really be empathetic to anybody else. Also, I think that if Red and Lizzie are not really hanging out, best buds, it's a perfect opportunity for Tom to come back. So I think I agree with you that Tom might be coming back, and I think he'll come back because... Well, I was going to say that before you did your
thing. Of course you were.
But I'm going to say that because... because of the way the relationship between Lizzie and Red are going right now. And I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you're writing all that down.
This is worse than moonlighting.
He threw his pen.
Will there, won't they, America? Julia Nando, hashtag.
Oh, good God.
I think there's a 91-year-old man who might have a problem with that. Or 94.
Braswell. Braswell. Dr. Braswell.
The looks Julia's giving me.
What are your predictions, Dr. Braswell, before the man next to you gets stabbed?
You and I can get a room, Joe.
Oh, we can. All it's right. going to be the ugliest thing on the planet.
My predictions are is that I'm not sure how... I'm not sure how we will get this done, but I do know the history of the show is going to use about the first probably 5 minutes of next week's episode with about, I don't know, 5 pages of dialogue to explain exactly why Red is now okay with the CIA and the FBI and back working for the FBI and Red Lizzie, and while Red is back hunting for Black. I think all these cliffhangers we had from this week, I think will be explained away in like five pages of dialogue, and then we'll be back in business.
Put the proverbial shit back in the proverbial horse, and off we go.
That's what's happening.
That's TV. What's what we got to do?
That's the history of all that. I'm like, well, how are they going to... These missiles! And then Red's going to... And then it's like, oh, here we are.
Yeah, it's TV. You know? What are you going to
do? So I think that's going to be not going to be an issue. I think within 5 minutes, Red will be back in business, and that's that. I also think that Tom will return. I think Tom will return as an ally.
Like Julia said.
Yes, like Julia said. As an ally of Lizzie. I think Lizzie and Tom will be working together and, like, you know, trying to... Like, I think Lizzie will probably... My prediction is Lizzie is the only person... Tom is the only person that can work with Lizzie to find out the truth about Red. So it'll be some weird, like, you know...
Oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? The two of them.
Tom is the only person that can work with Lizzie to find out the truth about Red.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what you just said. I'm repeating it.
They're going to be working together to find out what the fulcrum is. What's this? Fulcrum?
That's the fulcrum.
Okay. That's a sign for
they're
the fulcrum.
They're going to figure out what the fulcrum is, and they're going to be working together, and they're going to be cool.
Driving in the mystery machine.
Yeah.
Feeding Scooby snacks.
That's my prediction.
Got it.
Tom will not wear sweaters. Or glasses.
Nope, those days are gone.
Sorry.
Leather
are
jackets.
Are you really mad at me?
No.
It's the guy next to you.
America, Nando, and Julia aren't going to do it. It's not going to happen. Just going to clear that up.
It's not going to happen.
But if you think they will.
This is the most uncomfortable I've been in weeks.
If we do, I'll be wearing a yellow dress.
That's 53 minutes of...
Are we good? I think we got there.
We're clean. There.
Josh, are we clean? Anything else?
You guys are good, man.
All right, good.
Wait, well, Josh,
let's
get out of
here. Finish this.
Joe Sanfilippo, where can we find
you? You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Filippo, JoeFlippo, and my website is josephsanfilippo.com.
Julia, where can we find you? Aside from outside of my car with a hatchet.
Find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carolee, JuelaCarolley.
Nando, where can we find you, sir?
If you don't find me, you know to go for Julia Carolee. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, NANDOVEL, and here for other AfterBuzz shows like The Walking Dead returning this week.
I'm laughing because it's true.
The Walking Dead. And I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram, and here, and possibly... We can get it together. Maybe we'll return to the Americans. We're working on it. Oh, and also on
nice try. You're going to have to go through me first, guys.
Oh! Oh.
The disembodied voice. Famous fighting words.
Maybe. Maybe not. Also, I'm on a show called Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live, which we do about nerd culture and geek culture with a guy named Akili Shine, so check that out, too. That's all I got.
That's all we got.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.